This is the King Chasing Podcast. Here's your host, Richard Martin.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the newest episode of the King Chasing Podcast. I am your host, Richard Martin. Once again, don't forget to tune into all the episodes of the King Chasing Podcast at the NCCAA.org/podcast, on YouTube, or on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Make sure the King Chasing Podcast is one of your favorites. Today's episode, we talk with Bryn King, currently a graduate student at Roberts Wesleyan University, competing on the Red Hawks track and field team. Bryn was the first ever NCAA Division II national champion at Roberts Wesleyan, winning the 2024 NCAA Indoor Pole Vault National Championship. She's also won two more national championships in the NCAA level while at Roberts Wesleyan, and just recently set the NCAA women's outdoor pole vault record with a jump of 4.75 meters at the Clyde Littlefield Texas Relays on March 29th. Bryn also competed for the United States Olympic team in 2024 in Paris, France, after clearing a jump of 4.73 meters at the University of Oregon's Hayward Field during the Olympic trials to catapult from 8th to 3rd in the standings, and earned a spot on Team USA for the 2024 Paris Olympics, where she finished 22nd in the event in her first Olympic appearance. Once again, thanks to Bryn for sitting down with this interview, and thank you for tuning in to the King Chasing Podcast. Everybody, and welcome back to the newest edition of the King Chasing Podcast. I'm your host, Richard Martin, and I am joined by Bryn King. And Bryn, thank you so much. We talked about your busy schedule all around the country, and so thanks for taking some time during your season to sit down with us today.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to do this.
Awesome. Awesome. So we'll just jump right into it. What has been your faith journey like? You know, how did you come to know the Lord growing up in Texas?
Yeah, so my faith journey started really, really young. My parents are Christian. They raised me Christian. I went from private school, from preschool, all the way up through high school. It was my choice. They asked me what I wanted to do, and I said from a young age that I wanted to go to a school where I could increase my faith, learn more about it. And so I was really thankful for that. And then Duke was kind of my first time going somewhere where that wasn't necessarily where that was. I shared beliefs with everyone, but I found myself a group with Athletes in Action. We had a little small group on my track team, and I had a mentor through that. And so that really helped continue to build my faith throughout my time at Duke, even though not everyone there shared the same beliefs as me.
Awesome. And so, like you said, you mentioned you started your career in track and field at Duke. But before that, you know, you had a different path to get involved with track and field. I know you've answered this question several times over the last few months, but, you know, you didn't start in track and field, but what sport did you start with? And then how did you get involved with track and field, and then specifically with the pole vault?
Yeah, so I was a cheerleader my whole life. I started went all the way to age 16. I thought that was going to be my end all be all. I wanted to be a Houston Texans cheerleader eventually one day. But around my freshman year of high school, I decided to run track. I didn't do pole vault. I did the 200 and long jump a little bit. It was definitely on the side. Cheer was still my main thing. Until my junior year of high school, I ended up having hip surgery my sophomore year, so I couldn't long jump anymore, but I had really come to love track, the idea of like an individual sport. It was different to me. It was really fun. I had a lot to learn. And that's when my high school coach was like, well, why don't you try pole vault? You're a cheerleader. You like being in the air. Like, give it a try. And so I did it. My mom signed me up for a mini camp. It was like me, a 16-year-old junior in high school, and a bunch of like 10-year-olds. And I did it one day, fell in love with it. And that's how I started my pole vault journey. I didn't end up really competing my junior year because I had ACL surgery. But then senior year was my first year I competed in high school in pole vault. So yeah, that's how I got into it.
Awesome. And so, man, must have been pretty good because you ended up going to Duke for it to start off with. How did you get to Duke University from Texas, and you know, what kind of factored into your decision to start your collegiate career at Duke?
Yeah, so Duke had always kind of been on my radar. Both of my parents actually were athletes at Duke. My mom played soccer, my dad played baseball. They didn't push me to go towards that, but I grew up being a Duke fan. So then when I had just started vaulting, I was the one reaching out to coaches because I didn't have the heights yet for coaches to come find me. So I was kind of trying to be recruited upon potential. And when I reached out to the Duke coach, they had a very good vault program, and he was one of the ones that were most interested, actually. So it just kind of all fell into place, and I from the moment I went on my visit, I didn't go on any other visits. I loved the school. I loved everything about it, and I ended up there.
Awesome. And so, you competed at Duke for a while, but then you have some injuries and you end up at Roberts Wesleyan. What else kind of factored into your decision besides the injuries or anything else that led to you going to Roberts Wesleyan?
So I loved my time at Duke, but I didn't vault as well as I wanted to. And then with all the injuries and COVID and everything, I had 2 full years of eligibility left. And so I decided to go into the transfer portal. I wanted to find a school specifically for pole vault. I just wanted to see how high I could vault. I had 2 more years left. I was like, all right, let's do some sort of master's program. Let's give it my all in pole vault. And then in talking to coaches, I talked to a bunch, mostly big D1 Power 5 schools. That's kind of where I thought I was going to go again. I mean, that's what I came from. And then Jen reached out to me. I had met her in high school because when it's cold up in New York, they would come down to Texas and train. So I ended up training with her one day. We stayed in touch. She saw me on the transfer portal, reached out and said, "Hey, I got a job at the school I went to. Probably a little different than what you're looking for, small D2 school up in Rochester, New York." But she shared her vision for the program because she wanted to kind of start it up. And she proposed to me that I could be a part of starting something and kind of be the leader of it. And by the end of that call, I was sold. That was exactly, I think, what I was looking for, everything that she told me. And it was a no-brainer. I came up and visited just to kind of see what it was about. I already said I was going to come. And yeah, that's how I ended up at Roberts.
Awesome. And before that, again, talk about, the injuries. Those were a factor in your time at Duke. You even talked about before you went to Duke in high school, some of the hip surgery. Did your faith kind of waver in any way? And then, how did you just keep pushing forward and not just physically, but mentally during those tough stretches of time when maybe you couldn't compete or couldn't compete as well as you wanted to?
Yeah, so I've had a lot of surgeries. I had hip surgery sophomore year of high school, then my first ACL junior year of high school. That was tough, but I kind of got through it. Then I went to college and was like, all right, I'm kind of starting new. This is fresh. We have better medical here. We have better training here. I was kind of hoping I would leave the injuries in the past, but that is not at all what happened. Freshman year, I tore my ACL again, and that was really devastating to me. It was right before the season started. I was really excited to finally get out, compete in college. I was getting a lot better throughout the fall. And that definitely was rough on me. I think the way I got through it was surrounding myself with people of similar faith who wanted the best for me as a person. So that mostly included that Athletes in Action group that I had. I leaned on them very heavily throughout the entire time, especially my mentor. And they just basically shared that they were gonna go through it with me. And I think that helped because when I had surgeries and stuff in high school, my parents were here. They're very supportive and stuff. All of a sudden, I'm by myself in Duke. And everyone was leaving for meets and stuff on the weekends. And so I'm left by myself in Durham, ACL surgery, can't do what I want. And that's when I really looked towards my mentor and he'd have me over for dinner. He'd have me do other stuff. And then the other girls in my group, when they'd come back from the meets and stuff, it was just a lot of love, a lot of support, and just letting me know that they're going to be with me throughout the whole thing.
It's awesome. So get to Roberts Wesleyan, have a great, year there, your first year there. NCAAs go well, and then you end up going to the US Olympic trials. How'd that all come about with the US Olympic trials? And did you think that you would have ended up at the US Olympic trials after your first year at Roberts?
So, getting to the US Olympic trials was when I sat down in the beginning of the year, we made some goals. I had come in jumping 13:11. That was my PR. And we knew it would take about 14:9 to make trials. That's what it had in the past, just based on what people do. And that's what it ended up actually taking. So, when I listed out all my goals, that was the most far-fetched one, like in the future. That was the ultimate goal. Jump 14:9 at some point in time and qualify for the US Olympic trials. My coach told me it was possible, but not super likely. I don't even think I imagined jumping that at the time. My big goal was to jump 14 feet. That's just like that's a big mark for girls. And I was close to it, but never hit it. So I thought I could do it. So when he told me I could possibly make 14:9, I was like, okay, I'll put that as one of my goals, but I don't think I was going to be like super disappointed if I didn't make it because I didn't necessarily see that as something for myself. But then very quickly after the season started, I realized, that was a goal reachable. I came out and jumped like 4:40, around 14:5, my very first meet, and all of a sudden was like, okay, wow, this is a big possibility. So then a couple meets into my indoor and I had already jumped 450, which we thought would qualify. And then I ended up jumping 460 in indoor, which is the automatic qualifier for US Olympic trials. So that was really exciting.
Awesome. Then, of course, you get to go out to Oregon to the big time stadium for the U.S. Olympic trials. Just what was that experience like for you to finally get to that Olympic trial destination, get to compete with some of the best in the country?
Yeah, so I said before my goal originally was to just make it there. But then as the season started progressing, especially towards the very end, it was like about a month before trials, I was just hardcore training and I was getting a lot better every single day. And he all of a sudden mentioned, he was like, "You do have a shot to make this team." And I was kind of like, "What? You think I have the shot to make the team?" I was like, "My goal was to get here." He was like, "Yeah, the way you're jumping," he's like, "again, not a high possibility at all, but you are now capable of jumping the high to make the team." And so that kind of like changed my focus. It was all of a sudden going from just only being grateful to be there, which I was still grateful to be there afterwards, but like, all right, I'm competing to make this team. And I think that bumped up the pressure a little bit, but almost in an exciting way. Like I had something to fight for now that I thought was possible. And then going to trials, super exciting. I'd never been to Eugene or jumped in that stadium. And that's like the stadium to be in for track in the United States. And then first day, I think the nerves got to me. I also wasn't super fresh, just traveling and stuff. Nearly did not make it out of the qualifying round. Tied with three other people. They ended up letting us in. They didn't even have to, so that was definitely a blessing. And then we knew we needed to do some work because I barely made it into the finals, which I was more than capable of making it into the finals. So me and my coach went to a community college track the day in between. Most people take rest. I went and jumped and practiced some more. We spent about 2 hours out there doing drills and jumping. He wanted me to find my jump again. He knew I was capable of having a jump that could get me there, but I kind of like lost it a little bit with the nerves and stuff and prelims. After that time, I felt confident again. I was like, all right, I have it. And he told me, he was like, all right, you gotta go out there tomorrow and let it all go. In order to make this team, you must be on the biggest pole of your life and you must have the highest grip of your life and you need to execute a jump on it. And I kind of told myself the night before, like, all right, we're gonna lose every ounce of hesitation I've had and I'm gonna give it my all. And then it worked out for me the next day. Some people were kind of questioning what we were doing. We were passing and stuff. To me, I told him the day before, it didn't matter if I got fourth through. I think they let 13 people in. It was top three or bust. So I was like, let's save it. Let's put out a jump when I really need it. So that's what I did. We passed up until it was the opportunity for me to make the team. And then he let me take my shot and it worked out.
Awesome. And so just instant reaction, just you hate the how you feel questions, but how do you kind of explain how do you feel after, you make the jump, you're on the US Olympic team? Just what was the emotions like between you, your coach, your family? Just how did all of that kind of feel after you finally made that jump?
Yeah, so when I made the jump, it put me in position to make the team, but it wasn't for sure that I made the team. So it was just excitement, and I was ready to go, and I was excited to now fight for my spot. I put myself in the fight, and I was like, let's go. Even if I didn't end up with it, I had a good showing, and I love to compete. So I put myself in a position to compete for everything I've ever wanted. And then I ended up not having to make another jump. The other girl got out after that. And then I think it was just like overwhelming of emotions. I'm not usually a super emotional person, don't show it a lot. And it was just like straight tears on the track. Standing next to my coaches, they both like grabbed me and pulled me over the railing to give me a hug. And then my parents came over and everything. And I still don't think like it didn't set in yet though. Like I did my victory lap around the track, I did awards and everything. And I don't even remember most of the time from then. It was just pure adrenaline, everything. And then eventually I got to go back to my parents' Airbnb. That wasn't until probably like 1 in the morning because after you make the team, yeah, you got to go do awards and you have to go through drug testing and then you have to go through team processing. So that's where I like got my Team USA uniform and everything. So then I was so tired by the time I got back, but we all hung out at my parents' Airbnb. I got voodoo donuts. That was what I really wanted. Tracktown pizza. That was like a tradition from my coaches when Jen used to make the team each year. So That was exciting, but I really don't think it set in until I had gotten back to Rochester. I was just like living in a fever dream for like 3 days.
That's awesome. And then again, you get back to Rochester, and before they send you off, you know, this big community-wide gathering at Roberts Wesleyan, just all the hype. You got news in there. You've got local people from the community coming up to see you. Just what was the, you know, the outpouring of emotion from the Roberts community, and just, you know, the support they gave you. You know, how just cool was that to see, just how much support they gave you before heading off to Paris?
It was so nice to see because for me, I wasn't in my hometown when I made the team. I wasn't back in Texas. And so it felt like the Rochester community kind of adopted me as their own to like support me. And so that was really exciting. My coach was a little worried. She's like, yeah, like every time I made the team, I was like near my hometown. So she felt bad that I wasn't. But like the way Rochester totally adopted me, it felt like I was like back at home. And it was so, even especially Roberts, they really just, a lot of support, which it was a very exciting time for me, but it was also a very stressful time for me. I was only trying to make trials originally, and now all of a sudden I'm going to go compete on the biggest stage in the world in track and field. Kind of hit me hard for a little bit there. And so just having the people behind me constantly being like, oh, we're going to watch you. We're supporting you. Like, we are here for you no matter what. Let us know what you need. It was definitely helpful during that time of preparing between trials and then heading off to Paris.
It's awesome. And then again, you head off to Paris, you know, just finally get to go compete. But before that, you know, what was the experience like, you know, in the, were you in the Olympic Village? You get to go to the opening ceremonies, just all of that stuff leading up to the Olympics. And again, just the biggest event of every 4 years.
Yeah, it's totally crazy. Like, I've only ever watched the Olympics on TV, and you see like the main parts, but you don't see all the behind the scenes. It was super cool. I think one of the most memorable times was me walking into the Olympic Village. I stayed there. I don't think I knew what to expect. I mean, I've always heard about it and stuff, but you don't really have like a picture of it in your mind. And when you walk in, it's just like it literally looks like a little city, and every single building is decorated with each country's flags and stuff. So like you walk in and Team USA's house was like right there. It's like four massive buildings, totally decked out, Team USA. Like that was super cool. And then walking into the dining hall as you like walk in, every country that's there, their flags are up. And then it's just thousands of athletes from all around the world, and they're eating. And then when you are in the village, you always have to be in like your country's gear, so you can tell who's from each country just by like what they're wearing or all matching and stuff. So that was really cool, I thought.
Awesome. So then you get to go compete in the Olympics, and you get to compete in the Olympic Stadium. Just, you know, what was the mindset and just your experience competing? I know kind of disappointing, in the prelims, maybe not what you wanted, but what was the experience like to your first ever Olympics to actually get to compete with the best in the world?
Yeah, I definitely didn't jump how I wanted, but overall, I'm super grateful for the experience. And I think it's really helpful in my, for me competing in the future, because that was a level I have never competed at. And I've kind of been like told, like, okay, this is going to be next level. I'm like, okay, I've been to like big meets and stuff. Like, there was nothing that could have prepared me for the moment we walked out into that stadium, and the noise was like deafening. I've never competed in that big of a stadium. It's huge. The crowd was going crazy. It was really exciting, but that's also a different atmosphere that I've jumped in before. And just jumping against, I haven't jumped against a lot of those girls before, and that's the best of the best in the world. So just there's a definitely a next level of intensity that I hadn't seen before, but it made me excited. And I saw that that was something that I could have in the future. And so I ended up going back and watching the finals too, just because I was in the stands, but I wanted to be a part of it. I wanted to see what it really took to like compete at that next level. And yeah, the focus, the intensity was next level that I hadn't experienced personally before, but I think being there, seeing it, being a part of it really let me see what I have to work for in the future.
So then, of course, you come back for one more year at Roberts, and just kind of a whirlwind. You come back, you do sign the massive NIL deal with Adidas. You know, has your life kind of changed any when you've come back to Roberts, or has it kind of been like, you know, same old, but maybe people look at you and go, oh, hey, there's the Olympic athlete on our campus?
Yeah, it's kind of more like that. It definitely has changed. A lot more people know who I am. Like I go places and hey, Brand, like that's sometimes it still catches me off guard. I turn around, I'm like, oh, who are you? But like they're like, oh, we watch you, we know who you are. I'm like, okay, cool. That part's really exciting. But like at the end of the day, I'm still just the team member that I was before. So I think that's helpful though, being treated the exact same as I was and as the rest of the team. Like we're all in there, we're all working to get better. Pole vault's a hard sport, we're all going through it together. So I think it's, I like that part of it. Like it was just back to work with the rest of my team. So I like that.
And the work has paid off. When as we're recording this, you just broke the NCAA outdoor women's pole vault record. Got to do it in your home state over at the Texas Relays. It's just about 2 hours from where you grew up. First of all, congrats on the record. And what were your feelings getting to break that record in your home state?
Yeah, thank you. So that's, I love Texas Relays. I always have. I competed there once in high school and then came back last year and came back this year. It's a great facility, usually nice weather. And then the pole vault runway is right next to the stands. It's on the outside of the track. So a lot of people are usually there watching. Huge energy, like one of the most energetic meets, I think, from the crowd. And then I also, almost all of my family always comes. I had aunts, uncles, cousins. My best friend's mom was in town. She came and watched me. So I usually have a cheering section of at least like 15 people
Oh,
when I go to
wow.
the relays. So it's really exciting. I love that meet. And it's exciting to be able to break a record like that in front of a lot of friends and family. For them to be able to like be a part of it, see it, be with me afterwards. It was, if I had to pick a place to jump that, it would definitely be there.
A couple more questions here, and then we'll close out our time. But first, just want to say, there's a lot of training, of course. You're probably after Roberts, get done here. Looking forward to 2028 and the Olympics here in the United States. What does the training look like for you, not only for your college meet, but have you started the training for the Olympics and looking forward to that? Or is it kind of just taking it meet by meet right now as you're finishing out your college career?
Yeah, the training will be the same. It's just meet by me. Honestly, it's day by day. We switch my training day by day, depending on how my body's feeling, depending on what I need to work on. So overall, it won't really change anything for me. It will just be figure out what I can improve on and keep going, no matter what type of meet. If I'm competing at a local meet in Rochester, or I'm traveling halfway across the country to compete at Texas Relays or across the world, it doesn't really change too much, which is nice. I like the consistency of it, and I think that's helpful. It's a routine. I know what it's going to be. So, yeah.
Awesome. And then finally, you overcame these injuries and have able to, turn that into an NCAA record holder, the U.S. Olympic team member. What would you have advice for maybe athletes in high school or college, all at whatever level, who are coming off an injury and might be doubting themselves, or might be a Christian athlete and doubting their faith and their road to recovery as they look to just get back on the track?
Yeah, so I would say the most important thing that I found was surround myself with people who are supportive of me, not just returning from the injury, but supportive of me as a person. So in high school, sometimes that might be a little easier. Your family's there, you're very close. When you go to college, you might not have your family as close, but it's still important to find yourself a family there. And I think it's really helpful. Some of like a lot of times the school provides something like that that you can go to, especially if you're faith-based. For me, it was Athletes in Action. Now at Roberts, there's FCA and stuff. So I've just found it important to stay a part of something like that. Those people care about you as a person. They care about, they're willing to help you out. And yeah, just surround yourself with people who are on your side, and that makes going through tough times, whether that be injury or just not performing well, whatever it is, makes it a lot easier to get through.
Awesome. Well, Bren, thank you so much for sitting down with us today. And, good luck to you for the rest of your college career. And then hopefully we could see you jump in 2028 in LA.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Bren King for joining us on the King Chasing Podcast. And thank you for listening to the newest episode of the King Chasing Podcast. You can listen to past episodes at the nccaa.org/podcast. On YouTube, and of course on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. We hope to see you again for the next episode of the King Chasing Podcast shortly. But until then, this has been your host, Richard Martin, and thank you for tuning in.